Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, January 14th. Dozens of bills are being introduced at the state capitol, where lawmakers are in the early days of their four-month session. And there are at least three big issues this year that could spark some contentious debates. KVNF's State House reporter Scott Franz spoke with Governor Jared Polis about them and the other hot-button issues that might keep lawmakers working late into the night.
I'm hearing from Democrats that there's going to have to be some give and take on the paid family leave proposal. It's something there were already negotiations going on last year. In your opinion, what do lawmakers need to do to get a bill for this plan that you'll support?
Right now, as you know, many workers have family leave under Federal Family and Medical Leave Act, FMLA, but it's unpaid. It doesn't reach enough workers. It only starts at 50-person companies. I think they can start something at a smaller level than the federal. I mean, I think the discussion is, you know, do we go down to 30 people or 20 people? I don't think out of the gate this is going to be something or can be something that is going to be universal. It's just too much to take on all at once. The second piece is then how do we run it? And from our perspective, we want to make sure that the state's not on the hook from a fiduciary perspective, that it's not taxpayers aren't at any risk from it. And, you know, like other benefits, like many others, it can, you know, many companies do it themselves and others should be able to insure for it.
And we're also starting to see some advertising come out against the public health insurance option. Do you think this is going to have any impact on the course of this legislation going forward?
Well, I'm encouraged. It means we're getting close to the solution if the special interests are worried and they're already throwing money against it. I called that out in my speech. I said it's outrageous that for-profit hospitals are using the money they make from overcharging patients to spend money against reforms that save people money. And legislators on both sides of the aisle are smart and can see that for what it is. I think everybody who was elected to this body in the legislature, me as governor, we hear from people, healthcare costs too much. I don't think there's any Coloradans who think they're getting a good deal because they're not. Whether it's the high cost of prescription drugs, high cost of insurance, we need to really have a bold agenda about saving people money on healthcare.
You also mentioned that you want to stand up to big tobacco. What specific proposals are you hoping to see from lawmakers this year that would do that and also reduce the teen vaping rate and teen smoking rate?
You know, we look forward to seeing what their ideas are. Certainly one area that's been highlighted where, you know, usually in Colorado we like to lead the country. One area we don't want to lead the country and we're number one is underage vaping. That means people under 18 who vape. So, you know, I'd like to see policies that allow for better enforcement of those minimum age laws. Obviously, kids are getting it. It's highly addictive, has nicotine content. It's variable, but often it can be even higher than cigarettes and therefore more addictive.
I'm also seeing Democrats vowing to renew their push to repeal the death penalty this year. Is that something you think you'll get behind?
I support that. I think it's, you know, whether you abolish it now or in 10 years or in 20 years, it's an archaic institution. It's very costly to taxpayers. Whenever that'll happen in Colorado, there hasn't been an execution in so long in Colorado. It's really in many ways a formality, but whether that happens in a year or 5 years or 10 years, I think that's the way it's going, not just in Colorado, but nationally.
What do you see as the bipartisan opportunities this session?
Well, you know, last session, over 95% of the bills that I signed were bipartisan, were voted for support by Democrats and Republicans. There's a lot on tap this session. Obviously, we're very hopeful Republicans and Democrats can come together around transportation. We're hopeful that they can come together around improving early childhood education. Another challenge that we put to them is spend less. We'd like to keep more in reserve. Last year, we had, in our budget, had $180 million in reserve. The legislature cut that to $40 million. This year, we're coming forward with $118 million requests. We want to keep close to that. We want to encourage, while there's a lot of temptations to spend money in the short term, it's also important to save for a rainy day, and we keep wanting to reinforce that with them.
Thanks so much for your time, Governor. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
And in a follow-up to that story from the Denver Post, after opposing a bill last year to expand negotiating power for some 28,000 Colorado state employees, Governor Polis is throwing his support behind a 2020 version of the same bill. The bill hasn't been released yet, but those who crafted it say it would allow these employees to engage in collective bargaining through their union. Colorado wins. They already have union protections, but Colorado is one of 14 states in which state workers can't negotiate on pay and benefits. Polis announced his support at a press conference Friday with union members and two Pueblo Democrats who will lead the bill, Senate President Leroy Garcia and Representative Danea Esgar. Asked about his change of heart since last legislative session, the governor said he never opposed the concept. It was simply a matter of working out the details. Neither Polis nor his staff would comment on specific ways the bill differs from the 2019 version, but the governor's chief legal counsel described the changes as minor. State reports show that the average salary and benefits package for state employees was roughly even with the private sector as recently as 2017, but that state jobs now lag by 9.2% and are projected to be 11.5% behind the 2021 fiscal year. One result of this trend is that Colorado has had a hard time filling crucial state jobs. Close to one-fifth of classified state positions were unfilled as of last year, a vacancy rate that represents a 73% increase over the last decade. Sponsors hope the upcoming legislation will help Colorado better attract and retain workers. And finally today, in an ongoing story from the Denver Post, the Colorado Department of Public Safety is scaling back its search for the mysterious drones reported to be flying patterns in northeast Colorado and Nebraska. After conducting several field operations aimed at identifying the reported drones, the agency came up empty. Investigators checked into 23 reports of drone activity during field operations between January 6th and January 13th, but did not identify any of the large drones as described by witnesses. Of those 23 reports, 13 sightings were determined to be planets, stars, or small hobbyist drones. 6 sightings were determined to be due to atmospheric conditions or commercial aircraft. And in 4 sightings, law enforcement confirmed that they saw something but couldn't tell what exactly was flying overhead. Authorities began investigating the situation after residents and sheriffs in several counties reported seeing groups of large drones flying grid-like patterns at night, and no one took responsibility for the mysterious sightings. A task force of local, state, and federal agencies was created on January 6th to further investigate the reports. The effort involved surveillance from planes, as well as law enforcement officers on the ground. The Department of Public Safety has not confirmed any illegal or suspicious drone activity. And that was your KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, January 14th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.